The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
Well, the Lord be with you. On this Pentecost Sunday, our pastor for intergenerational discipleship, Dr. Rick Ashey, asked us a question. He said, how do you respond to discomfort, discouragement, and disinformation? And where do you turn to for comfort and encouragement and guidance? Taking a look at John 15 and also a passage in John 16, Pastor Rick explored the roles and responsibilities of the Holy Spirit as described by Jesus, and along the way also looked at four foundational disciplines that enable us to experience the Holy Spirit's comfort and encouragement and guidance in our lives. Now here's Pastor Rick with a sermon titled, The Holy Spirit, the Church, and You.
Good morning, church. It's good to see you guys. Hey, happy birthday. You guys are looking good for just a smidge over 2,000 years old here this morning. I like it. Now, isn't it awesome that we take time? Isn't it awesome that we take time to remember, but not just like think back remember, but remember to step into this legacy, this culture, this life that people have been doing, like what we've been doing here this morning for over 2,000 years now. It's amazing. It's amazing. And not only that, but to specifically remember and re-root ourselves in the person and work of the Holy Spirit in and amongst us and what he's been doing for 2,000 years together. This morning, John chapter 15, the end, and 16 is where we're going to be. Let's pray together, and then let's dive into what we're going to be taking a look at here. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this morning and for this time that we've got together to just orient ourselves to you. Lord, I am excited for what you are going to show us through the power of your Holy Spirit this morning. I am excited for the reasons why Jesus had to go and had to return back to you and take his rightful place on the throne, and why it was so critical for us today and our spiritual ancestors for the last 2,000 years. Open our hearts and our minds to all that you have for us. Let me pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me ask you guys a question here this morning. How do you respond to discomfort, to discouragement, or to disinformation in your life? What do you do? How do you act? How do you think when you are confronted by discomfort or discouragement or disinformation in your life? Let me ask you another question. When those things happen, and they happen a lot, because that's just life. When those things happen, who do you turn to? Who do you turn to for comfort? Who do you turn to for encouragement? And who do you turn to for guidance? That's the framework for what we're going to look at here this morning and what Jesus is wanting his disciples to catch. This day is so interesting for us because it is a celebration. It's a celebration of the birth of the church. It's a celebration of the reality of the Holy Spirit in and amongst us and for the last 2,000 years, guiding and directing and empowering and giving us the courage that we need to live out our daily lives. But there are some really interesting things in here too that I want to point out. It wasn't as exciting for those first disciples. And Jesus is trying to give them some encouragement in this conversation that he's having with them, because it's a really hard conversation. We have the ability with hindsight to look back. But the news he was breaking to them, it was breaking their hearts. So let's dive into it here this morning. Let's take a look at this. We are in John chapter 15. I'm looking at verses 26 and 27. If you're using technology, I'm in the New Living Translation. And if you've got that, fantastic. If you don't, follow along. We'll be pretty close together here in the language and the rhythm of it. So this is John chapter 15. This is verses 26 and 27, and it says this. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. But I will send you the advocate, the Spirit of truth. He will come to you from the Father and will testify all about me. And you must also testify about me because you have been with me from the beginning of my ministry. Jesus shows us a couple of things right out of the gates here in this text about the Holy Spirit. The first thing is he uses this word advocate. That's a really interesting a word to choose in describing the Holy Spirit. The advocate or an advocate is one who is a comforter or an encourager or a counselor or a guide. It comes from the Greek word paraclete, and it's got these two elements to it. There's these two parts of that words that get squished together to make this word for us. The first one is para. We're kind of familiar with that idea. Para is to be close beside, and it emphasizes proximity. So Jesus is saying, hey, the advocate is going to come, and he's going to be really close to you. There's a proximity thing here that we have to be aware of. The second thing is this kaleo, this para, and then the second word, kaleo, is to make a call in the original language. It's like a legal term. It's a legal advocate who provides the right judgment call because they are close enough to the situation. So he's using some legal terms and legal jargon here, basically, in this language, and saying this advocate is going to be really close and is going to be able to make the call, is going to be able to help you to discern the situation and how to deal with it. Now, here's something really cool. I had a friend when I was a pastor on the island of Kauai, and his name is Kaleo. It's actually spelled the exact same as the Greek. Check this out. In the Hawaiian language, and we don't have time to get into this, but the Proto-Hawaiians, there is linkage back to possibly Israel. But in the Hawaiian language, the name Kaleo means melody or voice. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? The melody, the sweetness of the song or the voice. And so that's kind of the Holy Spirit in our life, right? The Holy Spirit is the voice, is the melody, the song that we have to pay attention to. There's proximity, but are we leveraging, are we engaging in that proximity? See, sometimes we think that when doubt and discouragement and disinformation and things come into our life that God gets far away. No, he doesn't. He's right there with us. It's just that our brains and our hearts get far away, don't they? So the first thing is he's the advocate. The second thing that Jesus says here is he's the Spirit of truth. And just simple question. If he's the Spirit of truth, do you trust him? Do you and I actually trust him when we get into discomfort and discouragement and disinformation in our lives? Or do we try to do it ourselves? Do we just try to take control ourselves and say, no, I'm going to do it? Do we truly believe that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of capital T truth? Not just my opinion truth about life, but the actual truth that governs, guides, directs, shapes the universe. So he's an advocate. He's the Spirit of truth. And then the third thing Jesus says here is that he testifies. He testifies specifically about Jesus to you and I. And I wrote down here that in this concept of testifying, the Holy Spirit does his part, and you and I are called to do our part as well. That's the beauty of the God of the universe that invited us to participate with him is that he wants us to do our part. He gives us a role. An opportunity. I think so many people, when they get into doubt and discouragement and discomfort and disinformation in their life, they either go, well, it's just all up to God. I'm just going to sit here on my hands, and I'm just going to wait, and God's going to do something someday. Kind of like the church in Thessaloniki, right? And it's like, hey, you guys need to get back to work. Get back to life. Don't just sit around waiting, right? Or we go to the other side, and we're like, I'm just, okay, that's it. Some of us, control freaks, is like, okay, that's it. I'm taking charge. I'm in charge now. I'm calling the shots, right? And we just start, like, just kind of whipping things out there, hoping something's going to stick to the wall like spaghetti or something like that. The Holy Spirit does his part, and we're invited in this relationship to do our part as well. So the second thing here, as we move forward, John chapter 16, look at verse 1. We're gonna be there. We're going to work our way through this. I have told you these things. This is Jesus speaking to us again. I have told you these things so that you won't abandon your faith, for you will be expelled from the synagogue. And the time is coming when those who kill you will think that they are doing a holy service to God. This is because they have never known the Father or me. Verse 4, yes, I'm telling you these things now so that when they happen, you will remember my warning. I didn't tell you earlier because I was going to be with you for a little while longer, but now I am going away to the one who sent me, and not one of you is asking me where I am going. Now listen to this. This is verse 6. Instead, you grieve because of what I have told you. Verse 7. But in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father and you will see me no more. Judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged. Wow. There's a lot of stuff here. So let's simplify it a little bit, break it down. First off, did you catch that thing in there about the disciples? See, again, Pentecost Sunday for us is a great celebration, but these guys were heartbroken because Jesus just said, I'm going to leave you. And they're like, no, we don't want you to leave. He's like, no, but you don't understand. I've got to go. Because if I go, then the advocate comes. And there's all, and we haven't even got into the other half. There's all this stuff he's going to do. He's got a mission in the world. So let's look at that. There's three things that Jesus identifies here that the Holy Spirit does in the world. And they have amazing ramifications for you and I and for all people. The first thing that the Holy Spirit does is that he illuminates our sin of unbelief. The first thing he says is that the Holy Spirit's going to go about the world convicting its sin. That's both like all y'alls, everybody, everywhere, and you and I. The reality is that one of the things that the Holy Spirit, one of his jobs is to identify and to convict. The conviction is what? For transformation, for the turning around, to repent and make a 180 and come back to the Father. That's the point. That's the goal of this conviction, to illuminate our sin of unbelief. The second thing that he says the Holy Spirit's going to do is actually in partnership with Jesus, is that Jesus makes real relationship with God possible. He's talking about this righteousness thing, that when the Holy Spirit shows up, this righteousness with God, this right living is going to be established for you and I. That through the power of the Holy Spirit, because of what Jesus did on the cross, because of that sacrifice he made for you and I, that we can live in right relationship with the Father now. And the third thing is, again, in partnership with Jesus, is that Christ is victorious. His death on the cross was the mortal wound to the enemy of all creation, Satan. It's this idea that Christ is victorious and that the Holy Spirit is in partnership with Christ. There's this judgment over sin and death and especially Satan. He's already been judged. And this, I make a note here, I say, this is both a hope and a warning. Because one way or another, you and I are going to bow our knee before Christ. Whether we do it out of honor and respect and worship, or whether we are forced. That's the scary part. That's why we're called to do our part in testifying about the work of the Holy Spirit and what Jesus did for you and I. Because you and I don't want to see people forced to bow in judgment before the throne. Look at verse 12. There is, again, this is this, try as hard as you can to grab some of the emotion. This is Jesus. There is so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. Have you ever been frustrated in your prayer time and in your Bible study time, or when you're talking to the Lord and you're like, why? Why am I not getting an answer? I want to know. I want to understand. Why is this happening? Sometimes you and I don't get an answer because Jesus knows if we got the information, it would crush us. It would crush us. It would be too much. We would literally not be able, as in his words, to bear it, to put it on our shoulders and carry it around. It would be too much for us. Sometimes being in the dark is exactly where Jesus wants you and I to be. Trusting in him and just extending that faith out. I'm going to trust. I don't understand. It doesn't make sense. It's uncomfortable. I'm just going to hope and believe. But this is the thing here I want to hang on to. He doesn't say, you can't bear it. He says, you can't bear it now. You catch the hope? It's going to be unraveled. It's going to be unveiled to you at some point. That may be where you're at right now. I don't understand this. This is uncomfortable. I don't like this. Jesus, why aren't you telling me why we're doing this? Why aren't you telling me why you're dragging me through this right now? And he says, just keep hoping. Just keep extending faith and believing and putting one foot in front of the other, because eventually it's going to be revealed and eventually it's going to make sense and eventually you're going to carry that on your shoulders and you're going to be able to testify. You're going to be able to witness to others. But right now, it's just too much. You're not ready for it. You got to grow. You got to prepare. Verse 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. And then he says three things. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring glory. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said, the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. So we talked about the three things that the Holy Spirit is doing in the world around us. The convicting and the drawing together and the righteousness and making life and making this thing we call being a follower of Jesus possible. And now he's saying, here are three things that the Holy Spirit does in you and me. The first one, he reminds us about our past. That's both for protection and encouragement. He reminds us where we've come from so we don't make the same mistakes that we did in the past. But he reminds us of where we've come from because we're on a journey. And when you turn around and you look and you're like, oh my gosh, I was way back there, but now I'm here. That's motivation. That's encouragement for you and I. And it also links back to the verse before where he said, you can't bear it right now, but just keep moving forward. Because remember, back there, you couldn't bear it at all. And we're getting closer, and you're starting to learn and grow. And you're starting to gather together the spiritual and the mental and the emotional and the physical strength for these things that you're desiring to know and to learn in your life. So the first thing he does is he reminds you and I about our past. The second thing is he prepares you and I for our future. The work of the Holy Spirit in our lives prepares you and I for what the next thing is. And not just tomorrow, not just this afternoon, and what adventure he's got in store for us, but for all of eternity. We're getting prepared right now for what he's got in store for you and I, for all of eternity, rallying around that throne in worship and praise that we get just a little taste of on a Sunday morning together. He reminds you and I about our past. He prepares you and I for our future. And then he guides us for today. He guides us for today. The challenge for you and I is, do we trust the guide? Do we believe that the path the guide has chosen is the best and right? If he's the Spirit of all truth, is that the best and right? Or like, no, I want to run this little goat trail over here and see what happens. Well, that's our choice. And we make that choice, don't we? Sometimes, like, okay, that was a bad choice. And we back up. And okay, I'm going to get back behind you. He guides us in the day today. That's an invitation into the adventure for whatever the next thing is for you and I. That's the cool thing about the Holy Spirit. You know, because I think some of us might have grown up in maybe a heavy-handed, you know, church environment. And you know, we've talked about that. His role is discipline in the same way that if you have kids or grandkids, discipline is necessary. Why? So they don't keep hurting themselves, right? So they don't keep running into the walls. You're like, don't just stop doing that. It's not good. You know, don't pull the dog's tail. It doesn't, you know, we work on these things. Why? Because those are hurtful things in our lives. Same thing the Holy Spirit does. But beyond that, it's the invitation into the great adventure, both now and for all eternity, for you and I. He reminds us, he prepares us, and he guides us. So I was thinking about this. So how do we experience the Holy Spirit's comfort and encouragement and guidance in our lives? We could spend a long time talking about this. Can I just give you guys four things this morning? I bet you could come up with maybe at least one or two more, I'm sure of. Can I give you four foundational things that you and I can do starting right now? And I'm also assuming that most of us are probably already doing, so this is a good reminder, but maybe there might be even an additional thing in here for you and I to be able to open our hearts and our minds more to the guidance of the Holy Spirit in our lives. There's four things I just wanted to point out this morning. First, solid Bible study. Not just reading a text, not just mowing through it to get through, read the Bible in a year thing. Solid Bible study. What do I mean by that? Grow in the story. Grow in the story. Don't just read words on a page. They're way more than that. Grow in the story that you and I are invited into. Because the more we know and understand and live in from the Old and New Testament, the more we're going to understand how the Holy Spirit guides us today and into tomorrow. So the first one is solid Bible study. The second one is purposeful prayer. Listen and stay connected. It's okay to ask for things. Jesus clearly tells us to do that. But you and I need to spend time listening in prayer. You can listen through Scripture as well, but taking time to listen in prayer is very important for you and I. Because almost always, the Holy Spirit is not going to shout. He's going to whisper. And you and I need to get quiet, and we need to get settled as best we can so that we can hear, so that we can listen. And that leads us directly into the third one, which I think is the one I want to emphasize the most this morning. Focused fasting. Focused fasting. Cut out the noise. We live in an unbelievably noisy world now. A lot of us thought that technology was going to solve a lot of problems. We thought we were going to end up in the Jetson era, right? And that everything was going to be great. And although, yes, technology has advanced numbers of things in our lives, it has also created a lot of chaos and a lot of noise and a lot of things just bombarding us constantly. I think back to, I go back 30 years, and I remember just walking a creek with a fishing pole. I remember just riding my bike from one side of my town to the other on the streets, playing in my backyard. Now, I was a kid, right? Well, I wasn't, yeah, ish. But, maybe, okay, 30, 40 years. Let's go back 40 years. You know, let's be honest. I'm okay with that. But do you remember what that was like? Do you remember back to that time? You can have that now. You and I can. It just takes what was simply opening the back door and running out into the adventure. It takes more discipline now for you and I. It takes more diligence and determination for you and I. And so when I say fasting, I'm not saying food, although that could be a distraction. What I'm talking about here is anything that is a distraction in your life. That could be your phone, the TV, the internet. If you're like me, listening, like maybe it's just as simple as turning off the radio in your car and just being quiet as you drive along and allowing that time. It could be relationships. Some of us have really noisy relationships in our lives. And maybe it's just for a time, perhaps, just turning that down just a little bit less of that in our lives. To hear more of what the Holy Spirit wants for you and I. It's just cutting out the noise. It's a discipline. It's something that the church has been doing for 2,000 years. And there's a resurging movement, and it's a part of our rhythm, right? As we lean into Advent, as we lean into Lent in preparation for Christmas, in preparation for Easter. But you don't have to just do the fasting during those seasons. It can be a part of your daily life to quiet down. And be able to be in a position where you can hear. And maybe even more importantly than that for you and I is that we can teach, especially the younger generation, the power in cutting out the noise, in fasting from the distractions, the distractions in our lives. So, solid Bible study, purposeful prayer, focused fasting, and then the fourth one, real relationships. And this is listening to others. The Holy Spirit works through people around you, especially godly, wise people. Taking the time to open yourself up, to humble yourself, and allow them to speak truth through the Holy Spirit into your life, and to listen, that's the most important part, to listen, to receive it from other people. Those are just four very simple ways. I'm sure you could come up with others, and come tell me afterwards if you think of something. But I just thought, these are things that we are doing, and maybe we need to tweak or ratchet up, or maybe we do need to step into, add, and make more a part of our lives. Here's what's interesting. The first two, Bible study and prayer, are about adding to our life. The second two, the fasting and the listening, the real relationships, those are about removing the distractions in our life. So if there's an area in your life right now where you are not moving forward like you would like to, that's a distraction zone. Apathy is what happens when distractions fully take root and become a part of your culture. So apathy is simply an embracing of a lifestyle of distraction, right? We are a culture right now that is distracted like never before. And so for you and I, this idea of fasting and listening, removing these distractions is vitally important. Discouragement and discomfort and disinformation, it's just a part of life. It's a reality for us. It's a part of the brokenness of the world as a system. It's a part of the struggling with our flesh as we're walking out our baptismal lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. But brothers and sisters, a day like today, Pentecost Sunday, is a day to remember that the Holy Spirit is your advocate. The melody that's singing in the background that wants you to follow into comfort, into encouragement, and into guidance. It is best for you that I go away. But if I don't, the advocate won't come. That's what Jesus was telling his disciples. When he comes, he will guide you into all truth. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you. It must have been so hard for Jesus to know that he had to go. He had to leave his best friends in the world. And he knew it was going to be heartbreaking for them as well. But he knew the plan. And he knew the power of the mission of the Holy Spirit in the world and in our lives. And I am grateful, Jesus, that you made that sacrifice for us. That's powerful. Thank you. Thank you for this legacy, this stream of spiritual consciousness that we get to be a part of, especially in the last 2,000 years, this rich heritage of worship and fellowship and gospel living. And Lord, I pray that today we would follow the Holy Spirit as our guide, as our advocate, as the melody and the voice of our life into this next week and the great adventure that lies before us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. If you'd like to learn more about ancient future faith or worship with us at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.